Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope.
So here we are with another Scope review. The winter film binge is in full effect. 2013, our first 2013 movie review. Although this is technically a 2012 movie.
For Oscar, qualification.
For us in flyover country, it's going to be starting in just a day or two. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
But by the time you're listening to this, it will be in theaters.
Everywhere.
Wide release. Go get your happy on.
And what movie are we talking about? We're talking about Zero Dark Thirty. I'm here with Jared. I'm here with Adam.
Is this one subtitled Quest for Curly's Gold? Or?
I think it might be. But this week could be sitting in this car for about a half an hour, the rate we're going. So, Zero Dark Thirty is...
I'm just noticing, like, the fake owls across the... to deter birds from making a nest.
Well, we've got a lot figured out.
Normal people next to us in this car are thinking we're really strange right now.
Zero Dark Thirty is about the problems at a Chinese alarm clock factory.
Wow.
They can't quite get the clocks to work.
Not quite.
Oh, what is it about, Jared?
It's about the hunt for Osama bin Laden in one...
Not the hunt for Red October.
No. Or Osama bin Laden, right. UBL.
For Al-Qaeda?
However you want to spell it. It's
That always confused me. I didn't know that.
It's one woman's quest to find him.
Catherine Bigelow.
Catherine Bigelow's quest.
Quest to find gold.
Her proxy...
She's not finding gold in this one.
Her proxy is a CIA analyst or agent or whatever. I don't know what her actual
Maya
title
Rudolph.
Is. Maya. I don't think we're given a last name, but it's Maya.
Yeah.
Played by Jessica Chastain.
Where would we know her from?
The newly Oscar-nominated Jessica Chastain. Gosh, what else
other
has she
movies
been?
Was with the ginger?
Was she in The Hours? No, not The Hours. The Help? Was she in that? I don't
Didn't
know.
See it.
She was watching some stuff over the last couple years that got some note.
Okay.
Look it up. That's what the internet's for.
We've got
for.
Chris Pratt, hot off his Parks and Rec.
He doesn't show up till later.
Burt McElvey or whatever.
Burt Macklin.
He's a Burt Navy Macklin. SEAL. There's a lot of people who pop up in
you
this
You got
movie.
The guy from Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yep. Mark Duplass shows up.
You got who?
Coach. Coach Taylor.
Coach Taylor, yes. Mm-hmm.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Who else do we have? We've got the gay guy from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
From Torchwood.
Jonathan Barrowman shows up, like, for one scene.
Tony Soprano comes in with a really bad comb-over, clearly not playing playing someone in real life who apparently doesn't know anything about stuff.
There was a scene where he's sitting at the table with Maya, and he is literally three times her size.
Yeah, it looked like she could crawl into his body like some sort of big, fat
Leon Panetta
Italian.
Is a large guy.
That's who he was playing. Yes, I did not see. You're way... Adam, it's good that you're here.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so looked like
there's a lot of people. I mean, the plot is basically it covers
9/11.
It covers 10 years of time. So you're kind of jumping forward in time a lot. There's a lot of interrogations. There's a lot of tradecraft.
They love that word, tradecraft.
I thought
they were making like popsicle stick log cabins or something when they say that.
Uh-huh.
Not the case.
A lot of surveillance. A lot of changing politics, which sort of hamstrings the
night vision.
There is a lot of night
vision.
Fancy new four lens night vision systems, which I didn't know existed.
Yeah. What was the other two lenses for?
I'm sure it's expanded peripheral vision.
Okay. I thought it was something to do with getting Netflix.
And they look like aliens, but anyway.
So glib about American history, isn't it?
It is strange to see them. It's like Warhammer 40,000.
Where we're going to.
Yeah.
So I don't. There's not. You can't really go into the plot because it just sort of chugs forward at its pace. Yeah.
Until you get to the setup for the actual.
Yeah.
The meat of the movie.
The loudest stealth helicopters of all time.
Like, I mean, really.
There were parts where they're quiet, but like the last 30-40 minutes is the raid on
the video game
on
Bin
Laden's compound in real time.
The best remake of Doom, the movie.
That's Doom at its best. Yeah.
And it's pretty fantastically staged.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's unbelievable, even though you know that no one of American citizenship dies, it's still an amazing... It's just amazing to see how they are so... They are so methodical.
Yeah.
They do their business.
They're methodical, they're rehearsed, but they're also capable of improvisation, which they had to do several times.
Much like this show.
Yes. we're known to set charges and make a breach on a building now and again on
I
this
learned
show.
That when I have to kill a terrorist, I just call their name, and they will come out from behind the door or a corner.
Usama! Usama! Boom.
Look, note to terrorists.
don't come when you're called.
Don't do that. If it's, if it's dark and you suspect that U.S. forces are closing in, yeah. when someone calls your name, just stay where you are.
I'm going to do that at our next show when Adam comes in the door.
Sidnick! Sidnick!
Huh? Boom.
Boom roasted. Just like that.
So, I mean, it is, like Jared said, it's not, it's just a series of events leading up to that, essentially. It's not, you know, I don't even really know how to describe it. It's sort of unusual in its formatting.
Yeah. You get sort of several other terrorist attacks that have happened between between 9/11 yeah. and the...
British
and
attacks.
British attacks. You got attacks the bombing bases. Of the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad, which apparently directly affects our characters. There was the suicide bombing at the Air Force Base in Afghanistan.
Chapman.
Yeah, Chapman Air Force Base. Yep. So... yeah, it's really kind of... I mean, I don't know how liberal they are with yeah. the storytelling as far as our main
She's
characters
an
go.
She's an amalgamation of characters,
I
right?
figured. Yeah, I mean, it's
I
not...
I, don't know for sure. I thought that it was one person, but maybe I don't know for
I assume
sure.
that's why we never got a last yeah. name.
Well, she's secret. Right. They don't know who it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, I heard an interview with
I think if I were her, I would probably want to be secret, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she may not even look like that. She may not have reacted that
guy.
Way. Maybe. I think it is a woman, for sure.
But it could be never do that.
It could be amalgamation, like you said, but... So you, when you see a movie like this of such historical, I mean, it is a historical event.
This yeah. entire
modern historical event, you wonder how much has changed for the audience for excitement. I'm hoping that it's pretty close to true.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the events that surround a few of the small dramatic
or
pieces.
Or what's changed because it's classified. You know, yeah.
There is that. I mean, there's investigations, real investigations going on as yeah. far as. What information was leaked and stuff like that.
As Stephen Colbert said, it's great that Congress can really get angry yeah. about a movie depicting something rather than the actual events.
And there's question on whether or not the information that was leaked, that may have been leaked to the production, is even accurate. Yeah. Yeah. It may have been leaked with propagandic purposes.
You just never know.
Because there's just torture. There's torture yeah. early on in the film. And
who are we kidding?
I mean, torture happens.
Yeah.
I mean, despite our
like listening to our show, for instance.
I'm just saying
we do it every 2 weeks.
There has been some criticism that maybe the torture that's depicted in the film is actually sort of staged in a way that reinforces the idea that it does get results, and that because of torture we got yeah. Osama bin Laden. I mean, think you got to draw your own conclusions.
We're not fooling anyone.
But I think that, like, so that's one thing that I've heard a lot of people complaining about. But
yeah.
when it really comes down to it, like, most of the information they got. Wasn't from the torture, right? Like, that guy, especially at the beginning. Like,
well,
it wasn't until they tricked him, kind of.
They got the idea of the main character, this Abu Akbar.
Yeah.
They did get them from the detainee program with the torture.
Right.
It took forever for that. It got lost in the shuffle, and then, you know, kind of bubbles to the surface, and that is the lead that they follow to eventually...
Get their man.
Get the dude.
Get their man.
So, I mean, there is a direct link to the whole torture program. And the results. So, I mean, you can draw that line.
So let's go around the room. Let's get opinions on this movie. I will start.
Yes.
I think it was terrifically crafted. I think it was intense. I think that last half an hour to 40 minutes was utterly incredible. It made you feel like you were there.
Yep.
It felt very realistic, and it was a beautiful crescendo to the lead up to that particular moment. The acting is good all around. Like Jared has said before, it was a movie that, you know, didn't really follow a traditional narrative in that
yeah.
sense. So,
and it's not about individual performances so much as in, you know, getting to that end point.
And you see different pieces of how it comes together yep. through different characters. So it's not just a one-woman super team going through and doing everything.
And characters
even though it felt like that sometimes, yeah. but overall, you know, they cut away from her to get information when they needed to.
Yeah.
And
since it takes place over such a long period of time, characters kind of come yep. in and leave. They're not necessarily there throughout the whole story.
So. Doesn't matter if, by the way, if you're in a desert or anywhere in the Middle East, you can always have beautiful flowing red hair.
Yep.
Adam.
Yes.
You're here for your first winter film binge review with us.
Yep.
You didn't get to sit by us in the theater.
I
so you got a whole different experience.
Right.
No one was cupping your balls during this.
No,
that I know of.
What I was doing the cupping. I like the movie. I agree with everything you said.
Of course. Of course you do.
As I always do. It's... especially the first, you know, hour is definitely a little tough to take.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, if you want to know the truth, but it still was unnerving that people do that sort of stuff to each other.
Yeah. And, you know, you kind of see the main character, like, at first wincing about the torture, and then, like...
loving it at the end.
She gets more and more ferocious as the years go by.
Yeah.
She sort of,
But it becomes more personal.
Yeah.
Well, sure, absolutely.
So, I mean, I liked it. And, you know, best of all, the dog lived.
Yeah. Everybody lived.
Indeed.
Jared.
Overall, I really like the film. I think the first 45 minutes to an hour are a little bit slow, but maybe that's intentional. I don't know, because I felt like the intensity and the pacing sort of ramp up as you, as the film progresses till you get to this set piece at the end. You know, we've talked about it, the raid.
Maybe that just mimics the, you know, the search.
Yeah.
And how the search was not going the way they, America wanted it to go.
Potentially. Great performances all around. I suppose that Jessica Chastain is worthy of an Oscar nomination. I don't know if she'll get the win.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not saying that she, you know, is at fault at all. She has some great moments. But a lot of it is very procedural stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like it's a tour de force performance. So
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't seen the all the other nominated actresses. But yeah. I could take or leave that nomination.
She yelled at not Coach. at Coach...
she had a couple dramatic, good scenes, but it's a bigger story that's bigger than her character.
It's not, it's not about her. It's about, So overall, it's a win. It's a decent film, not for the kiddies.
I think that Catherine Biggs, as I like to call her,
Kay Biggs,
probably deserved Oscar nomination for that.
I'd say so.
But as Jared and I were talking about earlier, when you nominate 10 films and you only nominate five directors, people gonna get left out.
Yep.
So, and she's a woman, so we know that most of the time they don't do as good a job as men.
Right. No, she's only an Academy Award winning director.
Well, she's got one. She doesn't need it again.
Right.
For the record, I just want to say I like this better than The Hurt Locker. I think The Hurt Locker is maybe a more personal actor tour de force with Hawkeye, but I like this story better, and I was more engaged in this movie than I was The Hurt Locker. That's just my personal
opinion. I would agree with that statement.
So, quickly, Adam, before we give it a score, paint us a picture, if you will.
All right.
Under the shit bridge. That's a total inside joke. That I'm saying that just for Jared.
Well, Adam's getting out.
It's a Prince reference. So how was sitting by yourself in the theater?
Like I said, the guy behind me, I think, threw up a little bit.
He was, when we turned around and saw you, he was back, though.
Yeah, oh, he came back.
He's back, all right.
We think we spotted...
He's gonna go rinse out the mouth.
We think
bit.
He was one of the regulars that may have brought his own cushion.
I heard someone crack open a soda. Like, you're getting a free pass to a movie that isn't out yet. Pay the $5 for a soda at the fucking...
Jared place. And I have been to a lot of these. There are a group of people that are always there.
Those regulars.
Yeah. And the people standing in front of us, as a matter of fact, who are seeing Gangster Squad or whatever it was, I saw them at this theater the last time we were here.
Yeah. I don't...
Don't take these movies for granted, because you're saving a lot... you know, you're lucky.
You're seeing them at the best theater in
Minnesota.
I can tell you this. For all of these free screenings that we've gone to over the last year, I have purchased exactly zero
But you haven't stolen... Yet. You haven't brought in your outside
concessions,
soda, right?
That's the word.
Yeah.
No, I didn't bring anything in, but...
And we reviewed these things. It's out there. We're helping these movie studios out. We need press passes, Adam.
It's for
America. Our 2013 scope goal.
We're trying to get accreditation so we can get into these legitimately and don't have to wait in line.
So we can get a .edu, the scope.edu. That's what I want.
Yes.
Is that how that works?
That's our two goals.
That's just so we can get, you know, educational discount on software.
Yeah.
So let's give this thing a score before the ice... freezes us into the parking complex and my wife has a conniption fit.
I don't think it's even raining.
It's not raining right now, but it could at any second.
Okay.
So we'll give it a score.
The Scope score is 3.25 stars.
So there you go, 3.25. Highly rated.
I can't wait to edit around that little conversation.
One last question. Can this movie win Oscar, Adam?
It's not going to win Oscar.
Jared.
No, I don't think it'll win.
You mean Best Picture, right?
Best Picture.
Best Picture, no, it will not win Best Picture.
And Shane, I also agree there's many factors going against it.
And American Tale is nominated this year, right? That's always
the Fievel?
Yeah.
Yep. Fievel, this is Fievel's year.
Yes.
It's a whole... I don't know what to say.
It's all American history. That's what's big these days.
Yep.
People are really galvanizing around American history.
Mm-hmm. Lincoln and Zero Dark Thirty and Fievel Goes
and
West.
Fievel Goes West.
Hey, the sequel. Just the sequel.
Yeah, there's no Cats in America.
There we are.
You guys know that.
So let's wrap this up. Thanks for
tuning in to this great winter film binge movie preview or slash review. We'll be back with more at another time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.